I'm Mark about Todd Spark. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from hip Antwerp, capital of Flanders, currently in Belgium. Today is Thursday, the 27th of July. On this date, in 1549, the first Christian missionary, Jesuit priest Francis Xavier, reached Japan. 1586, Sir Walter Raleigh brings the first tobacco from Virginia to England. 1866, the 1,686-mile-long Atlantic telegraph cable was successfully laid. 1921, Frederick Banting and Charles Best isolate insulin at the University of Toronto. And in 1953, North Korea and the UN sign an armistice. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tobealpod.com or send us an email at tobealpod@gmail.com. President of Ukraine Poroshenko went home from his trip to Tbilisi and pulled Misha's Ukrainian citizenship by decree while Misha was in the United States. So he currently has no citizenship. I guess he's hoping to work something out with his many buddies in the U.S. government. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The Ukrainian government gave the pretext that he lied on his citizenship form, but it was really a request from Bidzina on the recent trip. Poroshenko is happy to have him out of Ukraine, not because Misha was a direct political threat, but because he was annoying and there were many Georgians who came with Misha. They have been pointing out the enormous systemic corruption in Ukraine, and Poroshenko doesn't want to have to deal with the corruption of the giant oligarchs, or he can't, and doesn't want to hear about it while he prepares to run for his second term. Not clear where Misha will spend his time and on what travel documents, but my guess is the U.S., so we'll see what happens. Rallies downtown Akhmashenabeli Avenue, or as it used to be called, Plekhanovi, or continues to actually be called. They continued last weekend on the 23rd of July. Approximately 1,500 supporters of the Movement for Liberty European Georgia and related activists marched to the slogan, No to Russian Fascism in Georgia. Like last week's Women's March, the march was a response to the Nationalist March of Georgians. Tato Bakhradze, one of European Georgia's leaders, advanced the common claim that Russian propaganda is responsible for much of the anger and xenophobia displayed in the March of Georgians. He's right. He criticized the current government for doing nothing to counter Russian propaganda and refusing to stand up for Georgian values, which he said were freedom and peace. Leaders of the Republican Party and Free Democrats, as well as a number of civic groups, joined the march. They also spoke for the need for Georgia to remain civil and cultured. Like with the Women's March, the March of Georgians organizers planned a counter-rally for the same time and place, despite calls by Tbilisi City Hall to postpone the counter-demonstration or hold it at a different location. Around 50 activists appeared and threw eggs, empty bottles, and other items at the European Georgian crew. Police presence was strong. An elderly woman was injured anyway. Sandra Bregadze, doofball leader of the March for Georgians, met with the Patriarch before the demonstrations, which is gross that the Patriarch would meet with that tool. As a result, the Patriarch told both groups to cancel the event. Aha. Bregadze told his followers to stand down, though obviously some still attended, and used the Patriarch's command to criticize European Georgians for disobedience to the church. Likewise involving the church, there's been controversy over a speech made by Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili at the opening and blessing of Patriarch Ilya II's new hotel in Snow, a village near Kazbegi. The blessing, which was also attended by President Georgi Margvelashvili, Kvitakashvili said the Georgian Orthodox Church and Georgian state are interwoven, and added that although the state and church are independent today, secularism in its classical sense is misplaced in Georgia. Really? 25 civil society organizations, including the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, made a joint statement of criticism. They said that secularism has no classical or variant definition and always means the unequivocal separation of church and state. Moreover, they added that without secularism, any European Atlantic integration is impossible. Members of the opposition were also quick to criticize the statement. Khatuna Samnidze of the Republican Party convened a special news briefing to state that and called the remarks dangerous and unconstitutional, as the Prime Minister doesn't have authority to question the nature of secularism. National Movement Member of Parliament Roman Gotsiridze added that in other countries, these statements would bring about calls for impeachment, sort of. The Snow Hotel, which sparked the controversy, is in Ilya's home village, and the project is financed by the Patriarchate. The stated goal is developing the region. Ilya promised that the hotel's income will be reinvested in the village. Yeah, we'll see. It was not said if or how much the patriarch will also benefit from the hotel. A couple of things to note. Kvitikashvili is actually personally quite religious, which worries some, considering the state of the Georgian Orthodox Church, but it is what it is. If you want to know more about the Georgian Orthodox Church, study the early life of Ilya II and how it was he became patriarch, is my recommendation. Also, by the way, the hotel business appears to be booming in the Kazbegi region. The new Snow Hotel joins 120 units in Room Hotel, opened in 2012 in Stepanisminda. Radisson Blue Hotel plan to open in 2018 in Gudauri. Reports of other hotels and leisure developments in Kazbegi coming often, but they don't seem to come to fruition too much. The opening date of the Radisson in Gudauri, for example, has been pushed back a couple of years and was originally supposed to be a Sheraton. Moreover, Ajada Group has long been planning a small airfield, which is yet to materialize. However, this week, Best Western did successfully open a 50-room, 4-star hotel in Batumi, and Ajara Finance Minister Ramaz Bolkhwadze announced plans for a future Courtyard Marriott. President Margvelashvili vetoed two amendments to the self-government code and the election code. The first would reduce self-governing cities from 12 to 5, which means they have directly elected mayors. And second would have changed the composition of the Central Elections Commission to make it whatever the Otsneva wants it to be. Both were completely political moves by Otsneva. In his statement, Margvelashvili said the amendments were vetoed both because they weakened democracy through consolidation of power and because the changes would come close to the October municipal elections, which is totally true. This was the opinion of several civil society organizations as well that they gave in their June statement. Otsneva spokesperson accused the president of playing politics and ignoring the value of the amendments, of which there is none. UK released its annual human rights report in reference to Abkhazia and South Ossetia. It said in both regions, Russian interference had decreased human rights, specifically cited problems that were reduced freedom of movement, denial of documentation, and the insulation of more razor wire. Moreover, it condemned the reduction of Georgian language education on the ground that it disenfranchised Georgian residents. A group of individuals organized under the slogan, Power is in Unity, Zala Ertobashi, have begun to voluntarily patrol both borders. The Minister of Interior Affairs called them to desist, saying that the patrol was a high-risk endeavor and the border lines were already patrolled by the EUMM and the Interior Ministry. However, conducting such a patrol, however dangerous, is lawful. Also, not a heck of a lot of information comes out of the EUMM, as we have noted before. Although, of course, we're super glad that they're there. Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a Yonorama in Jerusalem this Monday to commemorate 25 years of diplomatic relations. Nothing groundbreaking occurred except for the planting of the obligatory olive tree on Israel's Grove of Nations. Both prime ministers reaffirmed the friendship, look forward to expanding relations. No military or trade deals were signed. Netanyahu stated that Islamic terrorism is a common threat. Kvitikashvili responded with a statement that Georgia supports Israeli stability, and everybody fell asleep. In another unsurprising follow-up last week by Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and subsequently, in another unsurprising follow-up to last week's visit, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and subsequent signed military partnership agreement, Georgia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs officially condemned the Russian military action in eastern Ukraine begun on the 18th of July. In the event, Ukrainian military forces came under fire, leaving 11 dead, 15 injured. The ministry called on the international community to respond forcefully. It also called on all sides to fulfill the obligation undertaken under the Minsk Agreement to desist from aggression. Tbilisi's four mayoral candidates have begun campaigning. So far, there's not a whole lot to distinguish them in terms of policy priorities, as few specifics have been mentioned. Elena Khoshtari of the movement Liberty European Georgia focused on job creation through infrastructure development and supported the ongoing railway bypass project. I'm curious about this, and we'll try and find out more about it, because that was a very creepy project started under Misha. The real plan was of that project was to develop the land now used for tracks in the middle of the city and to get rid of the rail link going through the middle of Tbilisi, which is something that a few other cities around the world have done and deeply regretted afterwards. They would have a bypass around the outside. What they say is that's for the safety of the residents because of oil coming from Azerbaijan right through the middle of the city. And fair enough, but they've already built a bypass so it could go around anyway. What they should do is keep the link in the middle for passenger traffic. Anyway, I'm not sure of her plans on that, so I'd like to hear about it. But it was purely based on greed in developing the tracks in the city. She also supports, Khoshdari also supports extending benefits for vulnerable citizens. Not too many details on that. Otsneba's Kahi Kaladze and UNEM's Dato Udamashvili also spoke for improved infrastructure and the need to improve transportation. Udamashvili and independent Aliko Elisashvili spoke out against corruption and the illegal construction. In the most specific campaign promise, Elisashvili pledged to put a moratorium on constructing ongoing projects until they can be more thoroughly assessed. Also in mayoral elections, the U.S.-based National Democratic Institute, NDI, released its pre-election assessment. It reported a deeply divided Georgia. When gathering data on the project, they observed that Georgian Dream members consistently asserted that there were very few democratic challenges, free media, political environment, swift and unbiased justice reform, reflecting broad input. Opponents, however, reported that to the Institute, a calculated consolidation of power by Otsneba, uneven in political application of the law, uneven electoral playing field, shrinking media space for opposition, and the abuse of state resources. The Institute largely sided with the opposition's observations, agreeing that corruption was a problem and encouraging the media to be more open. The full report will be available in our Things to Read section. Meanwhile, current Deputy Mayor Irakli Lekvinadze unveiled City Hall's Green Action Plan. The goal is to make Tbilisi more environmentally friendly by 2030. In transportation, this means more hybrid buses. It also means promoting electric cars and installing chargers around the city. The action plan also has increased the financial incentives for construction of energy-efficient technologies. The need to curb illegal construction, addressed by other mayoral candidates, has not been mentioned. As reported by our Montreal correspondent, four Georgian men tried to ship themselves to Montreal in a shipping container, Reuters reports. The incident is being treated by Canadian authorities as a case of illegal entry. The four men were uninjured but dehydrated as the container had stopped in both Hamburg and Antwerp before reaching Montreal. Both the Canadian police and the shipping company are conducting an investigation. European Investment Fund approved 450 million euros for investment in small and medium companies, bringing the total funds currently available to 850 million. Georgia is one of 11 former Soviet countries eligible to receive the money by applying through ProCredit banks. ProCredit is a German banking group focused on small businesses in Eastern Europe. They used to be bigger in Georgia but have shrunk in recent years, but have the backing of the German government, so they got that going for them. The new money is part of the European Commissioner Juncker Plan, a series of economic growth initiatives achieved generally through liberalized investment. The first statistics covering visa-free travel are in from the Ministry of Internal Affairs. 55,000 Georgians have traveled to the EU since March 28th. Of these, 3,000 have overstayed the 90-day limit. The overall EU immigration terms, this number is pretty small. Eurostat's most recent 2015 report shows Georgia to be outside the top 20 countries contributing overstayers. This group is dominated by Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq, which each contributed over 100,000 individuals, and is tailed by Bangladesh, Nigeria, Algeria, and Somalia, which all contribute around 20,000. In 2016, before liberalization, Georgia was 19th on this list of countries with citizens ordered out, with 6,000 removals. In light of this data, this year's number of overstayers seems to be on par or even slightly under last year's. Georgia simply doesn't have a large enough population to represent a big immigration worry for the EU. In similar news, Iceland added Georgia to the list of 14 non-EU safe countries, citing its successful constitutional democracy and respect for human rights. Beyond being good for Georgia's reputation, in real terms, this means that any Georgian seeking asylum in Iceland will be given priority. Finally, in immigration news, Interpress News reports that Georgia is negotiating with other countries over readmission of their citizens illegally residing in Georgia. Countries involved include Lebanon, Afghanistan, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, Congo, Gambia, Tunisia, Somalia, and Ghana. Competition for the European judge and the European Court of Human Rights has reopened as evaluators found that two of the three candidates selected back in May lacked the necessary experience. The position became vacant last year When the 9-year term of Representative Nona Tsotsodia expired, applications will be accepted until the 25th of August. In August, Kutaisi International Airport, which had been open since 2012, will begin constructing a new terminal with the capacity to receive 6 simultaneous flights. This planned terminal will connect with the new railway link begun this April, which will connect the airport to the larger railway system. Passengers traveling through Kutaisi Airport are up 92% this year, which is largely credited to visa liberalization and new budget flights. Also in airport news, Tbilisi Airport Taxi Hawks took some criticism from influential blogger and man about town, Paul Rimple. He observed that back in 2001, when the airport was undeveloped, the taxi hawks were necessary for travelers. He finds it remarkable that the airport has improved and the government has worked hard to increase tourism. No effort has gone into regulating the taxis. Instead of getting better, the situation is getting worse as fares are getting higher and drivers are more aggressive. This is especially bad for tourists. Georgia has worked hard to bring, as they don't know the price and the all-night bus schedule. Regulation is desperately needed and would be really, really easy, but nobody cares. The Georgian government says, well, the Turks run the airport, and the Turks just don't care. If the Georgian government felt like dealing with it, it would be incredibly easy for them to do. The person that sits on the board that runs the airport is the deputy economy minister. First Senar Clinic opened up in Tbilisi to treat patients with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism, and related neurological disorders. The new technology is also effective for post-trauma and post-stroke rehabilitation. Dr. Badri Jalagonia, an oncosurgeon, has been working on the project for 2 years in partnership with the clinic's owner and founder, Marika Ugrechelidze. The clinic is also prioritizing affordable treatment for socially disadvantaged individuals. Currently, diagnosis is free. Funding assistance is available for treatment. Georgia National Wine Agency is funding the first global Saperavi Wine Contest. It will be held at a future date in Tbilisi and run by Wine News outlet Vino News. If successful, the contest will become an annual event. While Georgian wineries obviously make most of the Saperavi, this contest is only for non-Georgian producers. So far, submissions have come from the U.S., New Zealand, Australia, Russia, Azerbaijan, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. Still open to submissions, free to enter. There is some Saperavi growing in the United States, so if you know anybody growing Saperavi grapes in the U.S., be sure to tell them. Tbilisi's Architectural Service and Animal Monitoring Agency are teaming up to create dog walking areas around the city, although it would be better if they just ticketed people who let their dogs dump on the sidewalk, but okay. Up to 7 locations will be created, including Vera Garden, Turtle Lake, Mziuti Park, Tsiteli Bahi, and Dede Ana Bahi. The areas will include bins for animal waste disposal, exercise enclosures, and rest pavilions. I don't know if that's for the owners or the doggies. Also in Tbilisi construction, Mayor Dato Narmani announced 2 development projects. The first is that Vake Park will double in size and connect with Turtle Lake. The combined 34 hectares will be protected from development as a cultural heritage site. The second is a project along Tukvati River near Okriba Station, where both banks will become pedestrian recreational zones. Cycle paths will also be built to connect the space in Lisi Lake to Lisi Lake. These expansions are perhaps a response to the criticism of Tbilisi's lacking green space and shrinking green space. Related article is one of our things to read this week. Tbilisi's techno nightclub Bassiani was named the best in the world by HostelWorld.com in a list compiled by the popular online electronic magazine Resident Advisor. No serious justification was given for placing Bassiani over the other well-known clubs. Only its aesthetic was described in the article. The author seemed to appreciate the exoticism of its underground abandoned pool location. However, as Hostel World is the largest hostel booking platform, this ranking is likely to give a boost to music tourism. This adds to the headlines Bassiani has previously garnered from Resident Advisor and other news outlets, including such glamorous ones as The Guardian. Parliamentary news, Rustavi single mandate member of parliament Georgi Begadze secured funding to provide free consultations and diagnosis for locals with a variety of neurological health issues, including stroke victims and individuals with Down syndrome. Consultations will be offered at Rustavi Hospital, as it has recently received advanced medical equipment. The meme this week is a viral video of the club, Bassiani featuring strobe lights and the whole bit. The video is not linked to the Hostel World site, but it's probably because of searches has been very, very high on the ranking. Civil.ge surveyed members of, in stuff to read, Civil.ge surveyed members of the European Parliament on prospects for EU membership. They predictably said nothing. This follows a joint statement released this July by Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine calling for the EU to adopt a resolution regarding the membership prior to this autumn's EAP summit. The five responses are neutral to negative. They say flattering things about Georgia and visa liberalization, but the tone is very much not anytime soon. Specific areas noted for improvement were conflict resolution and judicial reform. Georgia Today interviewed Tamaz Patarkalishvili, an environmental researcher at the Georgian Technical University who recently published a work on green spaces and ecological problems of Tbilisi. He discussed the problem of increased urbanization and new construction on Tbilisi parks and air quality. Most saliently, he noted that the European standard for green space is, and this is an interesting statistic to put in your noggin, 25 square meters per person, while Tbilisi has only 12 square meters. He argued that more new green space needs to be created and old polluting cars should be banned. Azeri activist Jamal Ali interviewed the Post Pravda, interviewed with Post Pravda, the post-Soviet reinvention of the once communist magazine. He argued that Georgia, once a great hope to Azeri dissidents, has become less accepting. The headline example he gives is the kidnapping of journalist Afghan Mukhtarli, but he cites other cases of asylum being refused or entrance being denied to journalists and activists. Related to this, a small group of activists gathered in Tbilisi this weekend for National Press Day to protest the imprisonment of Azeri journalists. Full report of the National Democratic Institute, NDI, on Georgia's election landscape. We'll put the link in there. All this stuff's posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 5,853. That's the tons of peaches which were exported so far this year, earning Georgia $2.2 million. The number is more than double last year's export totals. 76% of Georgian peaches go to Russia. Batumi's Black Sea Jazz Festival runs between the 27th and 30th of July. Most of the tickets are sold out, but a few events are still available for VIP passes. Headlining this year is Jamiroquai, Joss Stone, and De La Soul from the Soul Black Medallions No Gold. To combat the heat, Vera Park is hosting a splash party this Sunday on the 29th of July. It's the reprise of the popular event 7 years ago. The party will begin at 4 p.m. and go till late. Sairme, the Imereti town near Borjomi, also known for its mineral water, is launching its first music festival this Saturday. Local and national bands will perform. The event is organized by the Folklore State Center of Georgia. Will run until the 10th of September. Is free to all. Caucasus Research Resource Center, a source of a lot of our information, is launching a monthly newsletter with articles, policy papers, news, and data. You can subscribe via their website. We'll also include a link in our notes this week. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, in honor of the glory to Georgian electronic music, the 18th Street Lounge in Washington, D.C., 2008, right around the corner from the Tabard Inn. This is Thievery Corporation with Forgotten People.